This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
How about the Blues right now? Frank Cusumano will join us from KSDK in about 15 minutes to run down some hockey news. Also, we have opening day Thursday of this week already, and then we'll run down some of the college hoops, even though everyone's gone, that I really care about. Mizzou, Illinois. I even rooted for Illinois. Those of you who wear that ugly orange color, I rooted for your damn team because I thought they were being disrespected, and I hate Kentucky, and they couldn't get it done, unfortunately. But Tom Ackerman will talk a little sports in the next hour as well. He'll join us with his preview. He's on the Camo X side. Tom and I used to host opening day at Busch Stadium for probably 10 or 12 years when I was over there on that side of the building. Right now, back with us, a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, the author of BLM, The Making of a New Marxist Revolution, Mike Gonzalez, back with us. Hello, Mike. How are you? Happy Monday.
It's going to be happy Thursday. Opening day is around the corner. Can you imagine?
I can imagine, but Mike, we're very nervous here in St. Louis because we have high expectations from our team, and we're not very optimistic for 2025 in St. Louis.
Listen, I'm a Yankee fan. We lost Cole. We lost Hill. We lost Stanton. We got nobody, and yet I'm very optimistic because baseball season is about to begin, and I couldn't be happier.
No, I love it.
St. Louis is a ballpark I have never visited. I'm dying to go. I think I would love St. Louis.
Mike Gonzalez, here's a sincere offer for you. You come to St. Louis, and I will take you to a baseball game. We'll go up in the booth. We'll visit with John Rooney in the broadcast booth, and Ricky Horton will take great care of you because we do love our baseball. We're just hoping that it's going to be a little bit better than anticipated because we're very passionate here in St. Louis.
I know. I like everything about St. Louis. I love baseball. I love Mark Twain. I love, blues. I love barbecue. Everything about your state I love.
Awesome. Well, we're going to get you here hopefully soon enough. Before we get to some of the Black Lives Matter Plaza stuff, that's originally why I invited you on the show. You got a pretty nice letter here from Marjorie Taylor Greene, which has invited you to visit on Wednesday for the Subcommittee on Delivering Government Efficiency, DOGE. And the topic of the hearing is Anti-American Airwaves. I love this, by the way, Mike. Accountability for the heads of NPR and PBS. I cannot wait. Go get them, Mike Gonzalez. That's what I say.
You know what you just did? You just broke the news. You're the first because they just made it public about an hour ago.
I love it.
And the head, let me tell you who the other, there's going to be four witnesses. The Democrats have added the head of NPR in Alaska. I've been driving, and I think the guy's name is Ullman. Okay. And this is an act of desperation because they used to say that you had to have the reason why NPR and PBS, had to receive a subsidy, which you, Mark, could not receive.
That's right.
And even though it was very unfair to conservatives, they had to receive it because it was educational TV and educational radio. That is no longer the case. So they needed another excuse. The new excuse is, you know what? It's for hard to reach. It's for weather emergencies in hard to reach places, and it's for local coverage. So the new syllogism is, without NPR, you have deaths, So which means, you know, we, and without local coverage, you don't have democracy. Without NPR, you don't have local coverage. Without NPR, you don't have democracy. So this is just now what they're down to. I'm really looking forward to going there and making the case, the conservative case, as to why it is a travesty that we continue to do this.
Mike, what I've said, and I even told the dean of the University of Missouri Journalism School, my alma mater, Dean David Kirpius, this a couple of weeks ago, you don't have to take my word. You don't have to take Mike Gonzalez's word about some of the things that are happening in the media. Here, I'll just forward you Yuri Berliner's essay from, you know, a couple years ago. Chew on that for a little bit. He was an insider at NPR. He knows everything. Is that going to be introduced at this hearing? Because it speaks volumes in and of itself, doesn't it?
I am going to quote richly from it in my written testimony. And obviously the oral testimony, my written testimony is like 6,000 words. The oral testimony is like 5 minutes, so it's less than 1,000 words. So I had to take out a lot of stuff. But I'm going to quote richly from Mr. Berliner's testimony because he's an insider.
Yes.
He's a whistleblower.
Now, will you be asked questions as well at the hearing or just the statements? There's a Q&A as well, isn't there?
No, there's a lot of questions. In fact, the statement is just five minutes, and then... So I have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Representative Cloud and Tim Burchett from Tennessee. These are all good people. But on the other side, they have Jasmine Crockett from Texas. You may have heard of her.
Yeah, wait. You say from Texas, but guess where she grew up? Right here in St. Louis. She went to she went to a very fancy private school. She's such a fraud, Mike. She is such a fraud.
I heard about her fancy school. If she knew the very bad middle school, the junior high that I went to in Queens, New York, I mean, I bet there's no comparison between that school and hers.
I promise you there's not. I promise you. So she's an interesting representative. So when you give your opening statement, though, because I don't see any justification at this point to subsidize NPR and PBS. I don't even know how this will be a hard case to make. But what would you handicap the possibility of that actually happening in the near future becoming? We've talked about defunding NPR and PBS for a while. Obviously, you have the right people in power right now. Do you think it might happen?
If it doesn't happen now, it's never going to happen.
That's right.
We have on record the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We have Elon Musk, the head of Doge. We have the National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz. All of them saying recently they have to be defunded. They have to be defunded. If it doesn't happen now, when there's a vibe shift, not just a vibe shift, but a paradigm shift, it will never happen. My conservative grandchildren are going to be growing up with NPR and PBS.
So don't they always say, oh, you know what, it's just a small portion of what we actually take in at PBS
right.
and NPR. And then my response will be, well, then you're not going to miss it.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, over-designed, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very much, are you?
I for the record here, you have not read my testimony, but that's exactly in my testimony. But also, that is smoke and mirrors, because what they say is, well, 70% of the money the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, gets goes to the 1,500 local radio and TV stations. But guess what? That's true, by the way. That is, they're not lying. But these 1,500 public TV and radio stations have to turn around and buy NPR and PBS programming. It's a shell game.
It is a shell game. There's no doubt. And I can't wait for you to highlight it. So I wanted you to talk about, and by the way, I think you were going to join us last week when you were in Panama, and that was going above and beyond, and I appreciate you being willing to do that. We had a preempt because Donald Trump was doing something, as so often is the case. But you talked about, and I didn't give a lot of topic time to this here on this show, Mike. I read about it. I know about it. But they brought down the Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington, D.C., and I wanted you to address that, because obviously here in St. Louis in 2014 with Mike Brown, some of this was all kicked off, all the nonsense with Black Lives Matter. So explain what happened there in D.C. with that plaza.
Well, listen, actually, Ferguson is the birthplace. Even though Black Lives Matter was officially begun in 2013 as a hashtag, it was at Ferguson when you had months of riots and you have everybody come from all over the world, including hundreds of Palestinians, and Alicia Garza and Opal Tometi and Patrice Cullors descended, and then they became an organization there. They organized, and that is, so Ferguson really is the kickoff.
Absolutely.
But then, that's when you have the start of the use of all this language, systemic racism, oppressive society, you know, white supremacy, blah, blah, blah. All of this begins in 2014. Before that, the media was not ever using these terms. After that, you see a hockey stick. After Ferguson, you see a hockey stick uptick in the use of these terms in the media. And then in 2020, when you had the real riots all over the country, and we veered, we could have lost the country. And then Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., defiantly created Black Lives Matter Plaza in front of the White House, starting at H and 16. You know, the White House is on 16th Street. And this shows the difference between the first Trump administration and this one. She is not defiant anymore. She's no longer rebellious. She's afraid they're going to take away her home rule, because Congress can do that. And she tore it down. Black Lives Matter Plaza is no longer.
It's kind of amazing, though. Like, this thing was 48 feet tall and was stretching over a couple of city blocks, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It began right in front of the White House by Lafayette Park, and it went two blocks.
So what do you make of that beyond just the symbolism? Because that is an interesting moment. Obviously, not everyone's happy with that. But was she just basically forced into doing that in order to have her city continue to get money from the federal government?
I think she did it on her own. You know, she wants to continue to misrule the city. The city is dangerous, misruled. Union Station, which used to be a national landmark filled with restaurants, you can no longer go there. They shot somebody dead there 2 weeks ago. She wants to continue to misrule, apply the blue governance to our nation's capital. She wants to continue to make it unlivable. And so she decided what she needed to do was get rid of Black Lives Matter Plaza to see if she could get some cover for that.
Wow.
But the symbolism is huge, Mark, because it shows BLM was iconic. BLM had this iconic power. That's no longer the case. The country woke up in 2021. They said, well, we don't like these DEI training. This is tyrannical. We don't like what's happening with gender. We don't like what's happening with race. And there were public, there were protests everywhere. And for example, Virginians elected Glenn Youngkin.
Absolutely.
On the strength of this.
Yeah.
Forget this. In 2021, I don't call Virginia a purple state anymore. It's a blue state with two Democratic senators. One of them was very liberal, Tim Kaine. So I think that this shows where the country's headed. I'm not saying it's going to be headed there forever. You know, it's in Washington, as you know, there are no permanent defeats and no permanent victories. The devil is always continuing to fight, and you have to continue to fight the devil. But this is, the country's now on the mend as far as this is concerned. I think
you're right about that, Mike Gonzalez. Thanks for coming on here this afternoon. Good luck on Wednesday. I can't wait. I hope they televise that because I want to see that testimony. Keep us posted.
Oh, I'll be on TV. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll see you. That's going to be awesome. Let's defund PBS and NPR now.